Chapter
241
of
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast.
This is a
Deadpan
recording. For more information or to volunteer, visit
www.jackmangan.com.
Adventures of
Jack Mangan.
Chapter
241.
Notice.
Deadpanites
attempting to find a motive in this
podcast
will be prosecuted.
Deadpanites
attempting to find a moral in it will be banished.
Deadpanites
attempting to find a plot in it will be shot. By order of the author. Per
baboons being eaten by tacos.
Explanatory.
Number 241 was actually the first three numbers and phone numbers for most of the part of New Jersey where I grew up. It's a little note to help the future historians who are trying to do research on my life. So welcome to Deadpan number 241. I am your host, Jack Mangan, a.k.a. Richie Cunningham's older brother. Don't have a whole lot in this episode, but we do have a complete Ear Buddies, a voicemail, and some crap from me. So maybe, you know, maybe you all get out early for this class. But anyway, let's get the contact info right out of the way so we don't have to do it in the outro babble. The voicemail number is 480-788-JMDP. That's 480-788-5637. Or you can email shit to me, sphericaljackm@gmail.com. That's also my Skype address, but I haven't been on that shit in ages. I do need to get back on there, though. So maybe I'll start firing that up more often. All right, yes, I'm bored, too. Let's get on with the show.
This is the Fixer.
Game.
Simba.
This is the voice.
My
And this is our promo.
Welcome to the Fixer's Hideout. Every week we discuss news, comics, topics of interest, movies, TV, and the best podcasts of the week that we've all listened to.
Well, wow, we do all that?
Yes, we do all that.
Wow.
And we don't get paid.
And you couldn't stop it before that?
You could have cut off his mic at least, Lord.
Mr. I'm in control.
I thought he was still sharpening his witty comments.
Apparently his sharpening stone is dull.
Join us every week, twice a week, for The Fixer's Hideout. We could be reached at www.thefixer.com, or on iTunes, or on Comic Geek Speak message board, or on Facebook, and we Twitter every once in a while. We have to get rid of people. This is The Fixer's Hideout, and this is our promo.
Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter. Smooth like
motherfucker.
Smooth like butter.
Three of the big things.
Smooth like butter. Smooth like
dead pan.
Smooth like
motherfucker.
Smooth like butter. Smooth like butter.
We are dead pan.
Smooth like
dead pan.
These greasy comments were read before a live studio audience. The scene opens with parents sitting on the living room couch. Lo Pan Cunningham walks in and says the first comment of the week, which is, motherfuckers, His sister Joni, the Energizer Bunny, pops in with her boyfriend Chachi Vanamond. She says, Jack, since you asked, http://www.flickr.com/photos/41443866@n04/sets/721567630043714422/. Keep in mind I'm terrible with the camera. Next will be this. http://www.gamesworkshop.com/dwis/catalog/product-detail:JSP?ProDLD=prod1109053A. Then Chachi says, so today I installed the latest Ubuntu on my overheating old netbook. In many ways, the underpowered CPU leads to a laggy mess, but XBMC works fine with AirPlay video streamed from my phone. Yeah! And then they leave for their own doomed spinoff. Then the Fonz, Ed from Texas, rolled into the living room on his motorcycle, to the horror of the parents. He said, I'm holding out for the original Klingon edition, Ellipsis. Mr. and Mrs. C object loudly, but Richie tells them to sit on it. Then Fonz snaps his fingers and drowns them both in the fish tank. They then go on a killing spree at Arnold's while Weezer performs one of their hit songs. When interviewed afterward by reporters, onlookers all seem to think Lopan Cunningham and the Fonz from Texas are the coolest thing since the hula hoop. Describing the grisly murders, Potsy Nomad Scry tells the Robert Downey Jr. reporter, first time I've heard famous rhymed with anus. And SB the Mouth says, it's a great distraction from the completely messed up issues of unemployment, foreclosures, student loans, our poor guys in the military, healthcare, etc., etc. Lopan and Ed then go on to murder Lenny and Squiggy, then Shirley, but not Laverne CJ, who said they spared her life because of the pretty L on her sweater. Before they left the apartment, she told them, I just had an argument with a coworker about whether or not ghosts were scarier than zombies. Seriously. Then at one point in the discussion, I just stopped and said, is this conversation really happening? Finally, Richie and the Fonz then moved on to kill the unfunny extraneous extra characters on the Mork and Mindy set. Before Fonz, Ed from Texas, and Mork, John Bowes fly back to Ork together in the Egg spaceship, where Mork, John Bowes wraps up the show by telling the elders, okay, by the weekend I will write and record my earbuddy's intro to my partner's song and my response to theirs. I think I may have a bad motivator. Mork then took the Fonz water skiing in shark-infested waters. Back on Earth, Mindy joined Lo Pan and they continued their killing spree, becoming known as the famous serial killers Richie and Mindy in Natural Born Cunninghams. And in the tent with the wise old Indian man, Mindy Desert Pixie said, devils in seven. Kings won't go easily, but maybe Brodor can show that whippersnapper Jonathan Quick a thing or two about how to win a cup.
Hey, it's Alfie in Boulder. You are listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Deadpan's a motherfucking way. I love you so much, Jack. It hurts how much I love you. You have no idea how much I... What?
Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Pop in your earbuds.
Just a Joe here with my installment for Earbuds. My earbuddy was Andrea, and the tune I sent her was Sam Phillips' Fighting With Fire from her 1994 album Martinis and Bikinis. This is one of those albums that will fade to the back of my collection only to be rediscovered once a year or so with great joy. Every time I listen to it, I find myself wanting to write a letter to Sam Phillips and her producer, Tom T-Bone Burnett, and thank them for making it. It's the only album in my collection that elicits that response. Baby, I can't please you. Sam Phillips has a very distinctive vocal style, maybe like Tom Waits, or perhaps an oak barrel-aged glass of bourbon. Rather than try to hide this, her producer for this album brings it to the front and features it with some very trippy, Beatlesque vocal arrangements and instrumental backing. For Andrea, I picked the tune Fighting With Fire. This is an up-tempo song with a driving beat, and while the tune is definitely very pop, the lyrics are very smart and biting. I know that Andrea tends to like intelligent, creative musicians who actually have something to say. And I hope that this tune will fall into that category for her.
Hi, this is Andrea. I was paired for the Ear Buddies project with Justin Cho. And the song he sent me was by musician Sam Phillips. The name of the song was Fighting With Fire. And it was from her 1994 album called Martinis and Bikinis.
He wants to keep in contract. He wants to buy the things he doesn't understand.
So Sam Phillips was not a musician I was familiar with. So as soon as I got it, I started playing it, and I went ahead and looked up Sam Phillips, and she has a website, samphillips.com. And the first thing I noticed, I just kind of looked through everything, and basically her first album came out in 1994, and then she took a huge gap, and her next album came out in 2001, then 2004, 2008, and then 2011, and I thought that sounded a lot like Trent Reznor. Which is really annoying when you have a musician you really like and they take a long time between albums. But the interesting thing she did was in 2011, she started this project called Long Play, and it was basically like a year of music. And you would pay a subscription for a year, and over that year you would get 5 EPs, 1 full-length album, and then basically you'd spend the entire year getting diary and blog posts, photos, thoughts, little snippets of songs, little kind of ideas, all these little extras all year long. I thought that was kind of cool. You know, I could think of a lot of bands I would totally do something like that with and, you know, want to get all those extra things. So the first thing I noticed upon listening to the song was I thought, wow, what a contrast from the song I sent him. Just the overall tone. Mine was definitely darker. I tend towards darker music. I dig very dark, angst-ridden, tortured music. Not that I don't listen to anything happy, but I kind of like that mood. But this song, Fighting With Fire, was very upbeat sounding. Although when I really listened to the lyrics and I looked up the lyrics and read through them, it isn't a very upbeat topic. So I really liked that contrast. Like, it definitely, like, when I first listened to it, I'm like, oh, this is a kind of a very upbeat, kind of catchy tune. But in lyrics, she's telling a story about a man, from what I can gather, is obsessed with money and has no love in his heart, which is definitely sad. And the song is, I mean, it's very simple. It's just a simple guitar, like light percussion, and her voice. It's very clear. You can understand everything she's saying, and the beat and tone of the guitar has almost a kind of folk music style, and it was very catchy and upbeat. Like, when I first started playing, I was definitely like bopping my head to it, and then the song was only about two and a half minutes, and it definitely drew me in. I really love the simplicity of it. It wasn't overly produced. I really love some very overproduced music, like industrial music, which is, you know, all produced sounds and takes a lot of post-production work. And there's just something about a guitar and a voice that is always nice. Definitely nothing wrong with it. It's just such a nice, simple form of music. So, like I said, I definitely got caught into the upbeat nature of it when I first started listening to it. Her voice is so simple, not overproduced. I was instantly drawn into it. And like Joe said, he loves finding music, but when you find that song that you love, it never gets old. And I can totally understand that with this song. Being from 1994, I don't think I would ever stop listening to it. There was nothing about it that felt dated to me or not relevant. And I really like that. It was a very simple message. Again, it was a short song, only 2.5 minutes. And it was quick and sweet. And right away I wanted more of it. I listened to it several times in a row, and it's something that I will listen to again and again. I've put it in a couple of my playlists already, and I've really enjoyed it. I'm very interested in hearing the rest of the album, and that year in music thing is very intriguing. I don't know if I'd pay I think it was $52 for the year. I don't know if I would pay that, but for her. just because I don't really know her, but I think I just think that was a really cool idea for her fans. So thank you, Joe.
Yeah, I can't really hear anything. All right, hold on. I'm hearing something now. It's still quiet though. Can you turn up the volume a little more? A little more? Come on, keep turning it. Alright, perfect. Thanks.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Ground control? Why are his landscapers calling him in space?
Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on.
Protein shake ingested. Feeling buff.
Ground control to Major Tom.
This again? What? Wait a minute. Who the hell's counting? You guys hearing that?
Check ignition and may God's love be with you.
Woke up, got out of bed. Again? What? Tell them I wear Oshkosh Bagosh. Wait, in just my shirt? And I'm fully confident that the HAL 9000 will let me back in through the pod bay doors. Here am I sitting? Did you run into Yoda out there? Not with that attitude, mister. In space, no one can hear you clap. We'll just fast forward a bit here. My God, I'm under attack by a space tuba. Now the warranty's no longer valid. Turn left in 500 feet. You mean your wife, the supermodel Iman? Yes, Houston, are we having connection problems? Damn it, we must be using the Sprint network. And who in Texas pronounces major like Miger? That's no moon. Electric blue, that's the color of my room. Sure hope his capsule's control switches aren't linked to the clapper. Tragedy struck today when astronaut Major Tom something or other spacecraft drifted off too close to Mars, where he was webbed up and eaten by the spiders from Mars. a certain Ziggy Stardust was questioned, but he claims his God-given ass was in Suffragette City at the time. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. We're told that Peter Schilling is crafting a synth-pop response to this, and then he'll drift again into obscurity after it earns him 1980's one-hit wonder status. Could you guys have tuned your strings before we started recording?
Hey Deadpan, this is the Energizer Bunny following a meme started from Just a Joe. Jack Mangan on my iTunes falls between Jace Everett, who did a song from the True Blood soundtrack, and Jack Urbant, who is on the Iron Man soundtrack. Bye.
This is Andrea. I was paired for my ear buddies with Just a Joe, and the song I sent him was by the band called Cloud Nothings. They started in Cleveland, Ohio in 2009, and the trivia footnote for all of you keeping track, Ohio is also the home of Greg Dooley and the Afghan Whigs. So I loves me some Ohio bands. And, the song I sent Joe was called No Future, No Past. It was from an album called Attack on Memory, which actually came out, January of this year. When the album came out, I probably listened to it for 3 weeks straight. And especially this song, right before recording this, I went ahead and looked at my iTunes and I have listened to this song 65 times. So, what is that? 5 months? In 5 months, I've listened to it 65 times. I like it. Obviously. So, No Future, No Past was the first single off the album. And what I love about this song is, well, many things. It's very dark sounding. It sounds just so full of emotion. It draws you in. I wanted to know right away what it was about. Completely, it builds. It starts soft, and it just builds and builds and builds. And by the end of the song, he's screaming, "No future, no past." And the guitar is just all the instruments are going, and it just is an awesome song. I don't know what else to say about it. I really love the way that it builds up, how it draws you in. And what I find so interesting about this song is that it feels so full. It feels like there's so much meaning, so much going on in this song. And it literally is only 6 lines, 11 words. He just repeats over and over the same set of lyrics. And it kills me. I think it's such an awesome song, and I think I want to know more. I want to know more about what it's about and what they were thinking and everything. The lyrics, literally, he repeats first over and over. Give up, come to, know we're through. He repeats that over and over and over again. And then at the very end, when it builds up to the climax of the song, and he's just screaming, no future, no past, over and over again until it's over. And that's it. And it kills me. I love it. I love the song, and I just, I really wish to know more about it. And I will probably listen to it another 65 times in the next 5 months, probably even more. They are playing here in Chicago in July, Pitchfork Music Festival. And I'm damn excited to see that show. I love going to the outdoor festivals, but honestly, the music sounds really bad outdoors. Like, you know, the great thing about concert halls and clubs and, you know, it's the acoustics, the sound hitting the walls and creating a lot of atmosphere and good music, good sound. And the thing I hate about outdoor festivals is the music just kind of carries out into the air and gets blown away, and it kind of sucks. So I'm excited to see them at this festival, but I'm really hoping that they come back around soon after and play at one of our wonderful clubs here in Chicago. I will definitely be there in the front screaming. I'm very excited about them. So that's it. I hope Joe liked it as much as I did.
Andrea told me that the tune she had picked for me was some new music she had been listening to. And I was actually pretty excited about this, as I find I just don't get exposed to much new music anymore. The tune is No Future, No Past by the Cloud Nothings from their album Attack on Memory. It is a slow, dark, driving, life is tragic sort of piece that starts minimalistically and repeats the same verse over and over until it is built into a grinding avalanche of sound. It's a very moody piece, similar sounding to Radiohead or Nine Inch Nails, but less polished. I'll have to admit that I didn't care very much for it. For me, the song dwells in that sort of dark down place that I try very hard to avoid. Interestingly enough, though, I went to iTunes and sampled the other tracks off of Attack on Memory, and this tune is nothing like the rest of the album. The rest of the album has that sort of up-tempo garage band, REM meets Green Day sort of feel, and would be something I'd listen to. So I have to say thanks, Andrea, for exposing me to something new. In my ear. Musically, I mean. Oh, hush, Lopan. She knows what I mean.
Deadpan is the motherfucking way. PC Herring, logging off.
Batu, Barada, Nikto.
Enough!
Klaatu, Barada, Nikto. Say these words.
Motherfucker! Enough is enough!
Barada, Nikto, Klaatu, Barada. Barada. Nikto. Batu. Barada. Nikto.
Eee!